Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God forevermore. Thank God for the word of God. Thank God for the word of life. And you're welcome to another episode of Every Day with Jesus broadcast. The truth of the word of God transforming and changing our lives like never before. It's been a great time on this platform, being a blessing to us in the word of God. Hallelujah. And then we're studying remission of sins. And then we're looking critically at different aspects of this particular truth of the New Testament. And today we want to start studying on what should I do, or what to do if I fall into sin, or what to do when. Hallelujah. Someone says when actually means you are encouraging sin. You expect people to fall into sin. That it should be if. That because it's not a normal thing. Well, I really don't understand what that means. But I know that it could be if, it could be when, because sometimes at some point in your life, you discover that you are not ever going to attain onto a place or a walk in the which you can claim and point to your life and say that you are without any blame or any fault in your walk. You never get to that point. Praise God. You never get to that point. Now, I'm not talking about some of the obvious sins alone. I'm not talking about the Ten Commandments and all that. See, a lot of mature Christians are not even guilty of those things. Praise God. But you know, the concept of sin in our walk, sin in, you know, as actions, not just unbelief now, sin as actions, conduct and all that, is broader than the new covenant, than the Ten Commandments. I don't know why I keep saying new covenant. It's broader than what is stated in the Ten Commandments. Praise God. As we are going to examine today. Hallelujah. Now, the reason why I said you never get to a point in your life where you say you are free and you are without blame in your work is because till you die, you would always need to strive to get better. Till you breathe your last on the face of the earth, you always need to strive to press forward, you know, for something more. There would always be a need to improve, to do better. If you are walking in love today, you can walk in love better tomorrow. Hallelujah. If you are, you know, committed to evangelism, you can do better. What about the leading of the Spirit? You'd always have times when it feels like you were not responsive as you ought to be. And then you want to improve on it. Praise God. Let me show you what Paul said at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, from verse 1, it says, let the man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. For I know of nothing against myself, yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Have you seen? I don't know anything against myself, but see, I'm not justified by this. The one that judges me is the Lord. It's until I stand before Jesus and he says, oh, you are blameless in your work, in your ministry, in how you conducted yourself entirely. That's the only time I'll be justified in my works. Praise God. Justified, you know, as touching my ministry. As touching being blameless in doing the work of ministry. So he couldn't justify himself by himself. He says, it is the Lord that judges me. Praise God. That's why I'm always amazed, I'm quite shocked when I see preachers justifying themselves. You know, you find a preacher that says, if you look at my life, you don't find anything wrong. And I'm blameless and I'm that. See, the truth is you're not the judge. Hallelujah. You're not the judge. Let's allow God be the judge in such matters. And, you know, amazingly, we won't find out until we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We won't find out many things until we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Some things we think we are doing well. Some things we think we have done right. We may get before Jesus and discover that we actually did not serve according to knowledge. Glory to God. Let me show you another place where Paul comments on the need to always make progress in the Christian faith. Philippians in chapter 3. Glory to God. Philippians in chapter 3. See Paul making commentary on how the Christian life is progressive. Philippians chapter 3 and from verse 12. Bible says, not that I have already attained or I'm already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting the things or those things which are behind and pressing, reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you seen? Paul is saying, I've not attained. I've not apprehended. Not that I've been perfected. He's talking about maturity. So at this point in time in his ministry, Paul had done years of ministry, close to 40 years of ministry. Paul is saying, I've not attained. I'm not yet perfected. I'm pressing forward. Hallelujah. I'm reaching forward to those things which are ahead, because there will always be things ahead. Hallelujah. So, like someone rightly said, that there's no such thing as a fully matured Christian. We only have maturing Christians. Hallelujah. Maturing. So when I even say you're a mature believer, you must not from that statement get the idea that you are now fully mature. You don't need to grow anymore. As a matter of fact, renewing the mind is an ongoing work. Renewing the mind is an ongoing task. You would always be found renewing your mind on a daily basis. Glory to God. So that's why studying this subject of what to do when I fall into sin, or if I fall into sin, is very critical. You must know how to respond to times when it seems like you are missing it in your way. Glory to God. Now, can believers miss it in their ways? One of the scriptures that people have used to teach that a believer can never fall into sin, a believer cannot sin, you know, is 1 John 3. And it's amazing. This is the only place where John sounds this way. No other apostle, no other, you know, prophet, no other person, no other preacher, New Testament writer said anything close to that. And that's why you must immediately know that John couldn't have been contradicting a bulk of evidences found in the New Testament books on how that it is possible for the believer to fall into sins, to make errors, to commit sins, to be found with fault, to trespass. John couldn't have been contradicting a bulk of evidences supplied in scriptures, you know, in this matter. Praise God. John himself wrote that the believer can fall into sin. John himself, in the same book. So it's such a wonder that people ignore certain things that John himself said in that epistle, and then they latch on to 1 John chapter 3 to preach that a man that is born of God cannot sin. And they take that to mean that a man that is born of God cannot commit any sins at all. Whereas there's a specific sin that John was referencing at 1 John 3. So let's look at this. 1 John, let's see how John references or John says that it's possible for a believer to commit sins. It is very important, because if you don't know this, I'll tell you some of the things I've heard before. I've heard people say that the moment you are born again, you cannot sin. And if you sin, it's a sign you have not been baptized in the Spirit. So you find people craving the baptism of the Spirit. That once you are baptized with the Spirit and you are endued with power, you won't sin again. It's amazing. The Corinthians, Paul writes to them at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. He says, for by one Spirit we all have been baptized into the body of Christ, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we all have been made to drink into one Spirit. So, evidently, the Corinthian church was full of believers who were baptized in the Holy Ghost, was composed of believers that were baptized in the Spirit. Yet, it was in that church Paul had to deal with a lot of sinful actions, a lot of immoral issues, a lot of conflicts. It was that church that was the most problematic amongst the churches that Paul had to, you know, oversee, amongst the churches in the jurisdiction of Paul's apostolic mission. Glory to God. Yet, that was the church baptized in the Spirit. Glory to God. Because it's a fallacy. It's an error to say, because a man has received the baptism of the Spirit, he cannot commit sin. It's a fallacy. Having the baptism of the Spirit does not immune you from walking in the flesh. It does not. You have a choice to walk in the Spirit, you have a choice to walk in the flesh. You have a choice to walk in the Spirit, you have a choice to yield yourself to worldly influences. The baptism of the Spirit will not prevent you from all this. Glory be to God. And what is the baptism of the Spirit? We all have been baptized into the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. All of us, all believers. In fact, you are not a Christian if you have not received the baptism of the Spirit, because baptism of the Spirit is not a second experience. It is your salvation. You have been saved into the body by the Spirit. Glory be to God. So let's see 1 John. We'll examine a few things today as a foundation for this study. Can a believer commit sin? Can a believer fall into sin? Is it possible? 1 John chapter 2, look at this. The Bible says, my little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. I write these things to you, that you may not sin. But And if anyone sins, we have an advocate to the Father. Is it right to Christians? Yes. It's right to Christians. If any man sins, if anyone sins, that is, it's possible for a believer to commit sin. Praise God. It is possible for a believer to miss it, to miss the mark, to err. Hallelujah. It's possible for a believer to get it wrong, to miss his way. It's possible. Glory to Jesus. Look at 1 John chapter 5. Hallelujah. 1 John 5, I'll read from verse 16. If anyone sees his brother sinning a sin which does not lead to death, he will ask and he will give him life. For those who commit sin not leading to death, there is sin leading to death. I do not say that he should pray about that. Verse 17, all unrighteousness is sin, and there is sin not leading to death. So there are two kinds of sins. There is sin leading to death, and there is sin not leading to death. Praise God. So a believer can commit sin. Praise God. A believer can fall into error. Hallelujah. Look at this other place in the Bible. Countless instructions in the New Testament would be irrelevant, unimportant, unnecessary if the believer cannot fall into sin. Praise God. Galatians chapter 5. See an instruction. Galatians 5 verse 16. Bible says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Have you seen there's a condition? If the believer does not walk in the Spirit, he will fulfill the lust of the flesh. There are no two ways about it. If you don't walk in the Spirit, you will do the desires of the flesh. You will fulfill the lust of the flesh. You will be carried away, hallelujah, by the influence of the world if you don't yield and submit yourself to a walk in the Spirit. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now look at verse 19. It now shows you what it means to walk in the flesh. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, listen, when he says the works of the flesh are evident, he's trying to show you that if you walk in the flesh, these are the things you are capable of manifesting. Hallelujah. Everything he mentioned in verse 19 is what you can do. Praise God. If you yield to the flesh, it is what you can exhibit. Praise God. So that's why you can't tell me, there are certain sins the believer cannot commit. No. Everything mentioned here, including dissensions, murder, hatred, lewdness. See, if you can hate your brother, you can kill. Hallelujah. You can kill. In fact, if you nurse that hatred to a point, you will shock yourself. The kind of things you do, you'll be amazed. Hallelujah. As a Christian that you are, because you have given yourself to walking in the flesh, you've yielded to the flesh. When a man yields to the flesh, there is nothing evil he's not capable of doing. Hallelujah. The man can commit adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery. Imagine witchcraft, drunkenness, all kinds of things, idolatry. Yet, he's a Christian. But the problem is, he's walking in the flesh. Hallelujah. Now, if he's done walking in it, he won't enjoy it. He won't be glad. He would notice an unrest. No, the Holy Ghost of God would, the Spirit of God would check you. Your conscience, if your conscience is still intact and healthy, you would sense, you know, this distress and trouble within you. But then, that's all, an unrest. But that in itself does not stop you from doing it. Praise God. That in itself cannot stop you from even continuing in doing what you've been doing wrong. Hallelujah. Now, when he says, against such, I've told you that those who practice all things will not inherit the kingdom of God. He's not saying when a believer commits this, he won't go into the kingdom of God. The believer is already in the kingdom of God. John 3:3-6. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Except the man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Except the man is born of spirit and of water, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So, for being born again, you're already in the kingdom of God. Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and has conveyed us into the kingdom of his dear son. So we are in the kingdom of God right now. God has called us into his kingdom. So Paul is showing us that those who exhibit these things naturally are not in the kingdom of God. So we ought not to emulate them. We ought not to copy them. The believer that walks in these things is the believer that is conforming himself to the world. Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You've been delivered and saved from these things. You've been delivered and saved from worldly lust. But you can yield yourself to the influence of the world, and you conform yourself to the world in your actions, in your attitude, in your conduct. And when you do, this is what you manifest. Hallelujah. Hope you see that verse 22, the contrast of walking in the flesh is a fruit of the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit will make you bear the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. Have you noticed it does not say those who practice these things will enter the kingdom of God? Because the fruit of the Spirit is not what will make you enter the kingdom of God. The reason why you are exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit is because you are in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. I'll say that again. Paul does not say those who bear the fruit of the Spirit would enter the kingdom of God. No. Because for bearing the fruit of the Spirit, it's a sign that you are in the kingdom of God. An unbeliever cannot produce this fruit. Such that you don't say, I want to walk in love, I want to walk in peace, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, so I can inherit the kingdom of God. No. The reason why you're exhibiting this conduct and these traits and this fruit is because you are in the kingdom of God. Only those who are in the kingdom of God can bear the fruit of the love of God, the goodness of God, the kindness of God, the faithfulness of God, gentleness, peace, long-suffering, which is a fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So, but then, Galatians 5:16 shows us that a believer can walk in the flesh. It can fulfill the desires of the flesh. It can walk in the lust of the flesh. That is why an instruction is given to him to walk in the Spirit. It is not an automatic walk. One of the scriptures that have been largely misinterpreted, misapplied, misjudged, hallelujah, today is 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. So people say, all things have become new. All things are passed away. Why are you still committing sin? Why are you still working in those old habits? They passed away. You are now in Christ. All things are passed away. All things are passed away. Hallelujah. I asked a fellow, while I was sharing the gospel with him, I asked him if he was contending against the idea that a believer can walk in sin. A believer can fall into sin. So I asked him a very simple question. I said, have you committed sin ever since you believed the gospel? And he looked at me point blank and said, no, I have never committed sin. I was shocked. I said, when did you get saved? He said, over 20 years ago. I said, and you've never committed any sin? He said, yes, I've committed no sin. I was shocked. I mean, you just sinned, brother. You just sinned. In fact, you are so bold in sin. Praise God. For you to look at me like this and say, you've never sinned. You are a sinner. Praise God. Hallelujah. You just committed your first sin. You just lied. Praise God. And you know, it's reflective of pride. How can a man get to a point in his life when he says he has never sinned ever since he believed the gospel? What is that? Praise God. No apostle of Jesus made this kind of claim. Nobody in the Bible made this kind of claim. Praise God. It's an error. And that is based on 2 Corinthians 5:17, a misunderstanding of that text. That text is not talking about habits. It's talking about your new life. The old man is gone. The new life has come. Now, your mind did not become new. That's why an instruction is given you to renew your mind. If your mind already became new, then you wouldn't need to renew your mind so as not to walk in the things of this world. You need it. The old things that passed away and the new things that have come does not include your mind. The same mind you had before meeting the gospel is the same mind you still have. Hallelujah. Your memories are intact. The things you used to do, you still know them. You still know how to do the wrong things you used to do. Everything is intact. Praise God. If you were visiting pornographic sites, you still will remember the URL, the site links and all that. It will take you a while to forget them. As you give yourself to the word of God, as you give yourself to prayer, and you get distracted from all the things you used to involve yourself in, then it now gets to a point where you can't remember those things anymore. But at the point of salvation, your memory is so intact. The evil things you used to do, you know how to do them. You know how to get those things you used to do. You know how to get them done. Hallelujah. You know how to do them. If you were fornicating, you still know how to fornicate. You still know how to sneak around. You know how to, do runs, codedly. You still know all those things. So it will take a deliberate renewing of your mind to get those things out of your mind, to get those things out of your memory. You fill it with a new consciousness. Glory to God. So 2 Corinthians 5:17 is not about a change, an automatic or instant change in how you conduct yourself. It's a change, a newness that came your way in Christ Jesus, a change of nature. Hallelujah. A change of nature, a new life, a new relationship. Now you are no longer related to the devil. You are no longer under the influence of Satan. You now have a new father. Praise God. Jesus says to the Jews, you have your father, the devil. That changed for you the day you met Jesus. So you have a new relationship. You have a new life. There's a new spirit. You have a new way of worship. Those are the new things that came your way in Christ Jesus. Your habit will now be transformed and altered and aligned with your new nature as you begin to renew your mind, which did not become new the day you met Jesus. Praise God. Listen, a believer can even be unrepentant. Hallelujah. That one is very strong, right? Very strong. A believer, not only can a believer fall into sin, it can be unrepentant. Praise God. Very unrepentant, adamant. And you're wondering, wow, are you sure the heart of stone has left this one? It has left. But his mind can become so seared. His conscience can become so dead. A believer can live to a point where he feels as though he doesn't have the capacity to repent or to change. He can, but it will seem as though he has not the capacity to repent. Praise God. A believer can be very unrepentant, and it is scriptural. I'll show you. Very unrepentant. You know, I showed you yesterday, Galatians 6:1. If any man is caught in a trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness and meekness. And then we saw that word restore actually speaks of a process of training. It's a training process. So there are things that bring repentance. If a believer does not give himself to those things, there's no way he'll repent. Even if he tries to. Even if he's crying and wailing and he doesn't like it. Haven't you heard of cases of people who are stuck in sinful habits? They don't know how to get out. At such point, they are unrepentant. They have not changed. They have not repented. They have not moved on. They are stuck in it. Because there are things you must give yourself to enhance repentance in your life as a believer. So let me show you an example. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'll read from verse 20. For I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I wish, and that I shall be found by you such as you do not wish, lest there be contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, backbitings, whisperings, conceits, tumults, lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and I shall mourn for many who have sinned before, and have not repented of the uncleanness, fornication, and lewdness which they have practiced. Have you seen? In the Corinthian church, those who have sinned and have not repented. Paul is saying, if I come, I hope I won't find people like that. Who have not repented of their uncleanness, of the fornication and lewdness which they have practiced. It's possible to be unrepentant. Hallelujah. Don't be quick to say, this person claims to be a Christian, but he has not changed his ways. Don't be quick to write off such people. Sometimes there is more. There is more to what is happening than what meets the eye. Do you know that people who find themselves in depression will most likely be wallowing in sinful habits? Depression allows people live in, you know, all kinds of funny addictions and habits. A man that is depressed. There are many reasons why people wallow in sin, wallow in negative addictions and all that. So there's more to life than meets the eye. Praise God. Don't be quick to write off people because you feel that they are stuck in their evil ways and all that. We must be patient. We must learn to restore such men in a spirit of gentleness. It's possible for a believer to be committing an error, to be committing a particular sin, and still be proud in it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Very possible. That's not the time to start saying, are you sure he's genuinely born again? You know, most times as Christians, we say things that are very, very funny. You say, is he a true child of God? he's redeemed, but is he born again redeemed? Because you can't fathom how a believer will believe in a particular way. I understand you are judging the person by your own experience. But the truth of the matter is this. What is a weakness for another may not be a weakness for you. May not be anything you have dealt with as a weakness before. For instance, believers who cannot fathom how a fellow believer will be falling into fornication, falling into sins of fornication and adultery, they can't fathom it because they kept themselves, they were chaste. Even before they were believers, They were so chaste, they never slept around, and you know, they got married as virgins and all that. So you can't relate to the believer that is now falling into, you know, sins of fornication, on, you know, masturbation and all that. You can't relate with it. So you are judging the person by your experience. But you see, you need to understand that some folks, before they met Jesus, they were visiting everywhere. They were going everywhere. They were everywhere, sleeping around. And now that they are in Christ, they would have to deal with that weakness. Because your mind, see, what you are used to is what is called a habit. So what they are used to is not what you are used to. And that is what will plague them now that they are in Christ, now that they are Christians. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, it is possible for a Christian, a brother in Christ, a sister in Christ, to be committing sin and be very arrogant and pompous and proud about it. 1 Corinthians 5 from verse 1, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. Imagine this kind of sexual immorality was even strange to sinners. The Gentiles in those days, unbelievers, pagans, it was quite strange to them that a man would be having an affair with his father's wife. Publicly, a brother, a Christian, was doing this. Hallelujah. Look at verse 2. And you are puffed up, and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. They were even proud about it. The whole church, imagine this kind of thing. Paul says, you ought to have taken this guy away from you. Why? Because his attitude is going to be contagious. Men are going to emulate this kind of thing because we emulate things. When we see that everybody is saying nothing about it and it seems as though we have a collective endorsement towards this guy's action, it will soon become a leaven in the church. Hallelujah. Look at verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the old lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven that you may be a new lump. Since you are truly unleavened, it says, a little leaven leavens the old lump. Before you know it, this character, this attitude will go round. Praise God. It will go round. People are going to emulate it. People are going to copy the example. It may not be the exact kind of thing, you know, but you're going to find more people becoming more bold in their errors. Glory be to God. It's possible for a Christian to be found committing sins. Everything I'm saying in this podcast today would be very offensive to the religious mind. You'll be very angry if you're a religious person. You're very religious. You don't like hearing what the Bible has to say. Anytime you hear sin, you just close your ears. Anytime you hear holiness, you just, thank you. Anytime you hear a believer can commit sin, you say, no, God forbid. You're just a hypocritical person. It's not true. Because even you yourself, you are not free of errors. Even you yourself, no matter what level of maturity you've attained in Christ Jesus, you cannot beat your chest boldly and say that you never committed any sin ever since you believed in Christ Jesus. You can't say that. Hallelujah. So it's hypocritical. It's hypocrisy, and you must let it go. Everything I'm saying in this podcast is very scriptural. And the reason why I'm saying all these things is not to encourage sin or promote sin. We don't promote sin or encourage licentiousness in my local church, for instance. People are very disciplined. Hallelujah. We instill discipline, godly training. That's the reason why we spend hours upon hours praying, hours upon hours studying the word of God, doing the work of ministry, because we don't encourage or promote sin. It's abnormal to find a minister of the gospel promoting sin. It's abnormal. We are saying all these things because these are realities spelled out in the Bible. Praise God. Reality spelled out in the Bible with respect to walking in the flesh. It is possible for the believer to walk in the flesh. And if you can walk in the flesh, you can walk in the lust of the flesh. You are not infallible. Praise God. Hallelujah. And you must learn this very well. In fact, believers who respond in a funny way when they find other believers walking in sin or dealing with sinful habits are not taking heed to themselves. Hallelujah. Say, yeah, a brother has done something. Say, Now wow, only God knows those who are saved. And if that's the way you respond to people when you hear about their, you know, struggles with sin and all that, with sinful habits, sinful actions, you know, errors, you are not taking it to yourself. That's exactly what Paul told the Galatians. Galatians chapter 6, verse 1. And I'll be closing soon. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Hallelujah. That is, the way to consider yourself is to restore the person in the spirit of gentleness. Don't be arrogant. Don't respond as though you cannot do it. Those say, only God knows those who are serving him. Some of us, we know how we do these things. We can never stumble. You need God. Don't be funny. You aren't considering yourself that way. You are not taking heed to yourself that way. Praise God. That's pride and arrogance. You must consider yourself lest you also be tempted. It might soon be your turn. No. It might be your turn tomorrow. In fact, there are people who have mocked others, who have said all manner of, unprintable things about certain people in their trying times, and they also now found themselves in the same error. Now, the shame was not really about what they did at that point in time. The shame, the magnitude of shame they felt was based on the fact that they were known to be at the forefront of those who were always criticizing and condemning others for their wrongs, condemning others for their sins. Praise God. So, they didn't know how to face others now that it was their turn. Glory be to God. It's a very wrong mindset. Last scripture, 1 Peter chapter 4, I'll read from verse 15. The Bible says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Have you seen you can suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, a busybody? If you can be a busybody, you can be a thief. If you can be a thief, you can be an evildoer. If you can be an evildoer, you can be a murderer. It says, don't suffer. Let none of you, that is, it is something you must make sure you keep yourself away from. It is not something impossible for you to do. That's why it gives an instruction to make sure you don't suffer for such things. Because it is possible as a Christian you find yourself doing these kind of things. And we must let go feelings, emotions, sentiments, Someone says, I don't always feel comfortable hearing that the believer can sin. It's not about feeling comfortable or uncomfortable. It's about what the Bible says. Praise God. In fact, let us say it differently. Can a believer disobey God? I don't think that one is so hard. Can a believer disobey God? Yes. So what is disobedience? Sin. Praise God. It's as simple as that. If you can disobey God, then you can walk in sin. Disobedience is walking in sin. Glory to God. And then, like I said, the reason for this teaching is so as to prepare us to know how to deal with such matters when they arise. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow. We'll continue our study 7 a.m. every day with Jesus broadcast. Invite your friends, relatives, colleagues, classmates, schoolmates, anyone at all. Let's come together to have a great time in the Word of God. And don't forget to have a great day of being full of the Word, full of the Spirit, full of prayer, spiritual songs, and be a blessing to somebody. See you in the next episode.